Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live and video streaming live for the first time in 2.5 months from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. You can watch today's program by going to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Today, no guests because I'm going to spend a little more time on the environment, including I'll be playing an interview from a genetic modified organism critic. It will be extremely interesting for us. I'll also give you a call to action on how Monsanto, due to its enormous influence and deep pockets, is able to get a set of rules placed into a new proposed law that could take effect as early as next week that would virtually give it power over the United States government. Yes, that's correct. So I'll deal with that. Also from our environmental segment today, the public pays for Fukushima while the nuclear industry profits from it. From our commentary section, from Paul Buchheit, the ways of privatization. It is my feeling that America right now, due to its extreme vulnerability at the local level, all across the country, with only a few exceptions, is outsourcing everything. Police forces, fire departments, water, and even who controls the traffic lights and the roads. Things that used to be done in common, where meaning we had a amount of our taxes set aside, our county and local and state taxes, that paid for these services that we all benefit from. Now, when the budgets are being cut, they're having to get outside contracts. But how does that work on our behalf? In point of fact, it does not. It actually is more expensive. I'll get into that. From our health and nutrition today, natural ways of chelating. I've had a lot of questions asked on this, so I intend to answer today. Let's say you have heavy metals, lead, mercury, cadmium, aluminum, and you want to get it out of your system. How can you do that if you don't have a budget to go to a chelation doctor? Also, when children are inactive, it's a problem as far as their hormones, and I'll explain that. We always thought, well, hormones manifest stronger in adults. Not true. They also manifest in children. Also today, there's all kinds of news coming out about how a brand new anti-aging pill, a drug, has been developed by a major pharmaceutical company that portends we should be able to live 150 years. Now, you've heard me mention many times that the natural biological age of our cells, if we do everything right, is about 150 years with no diseases. It's what we don't do that causes deficiencies. It's what we do wrong that causes cells to prematurely age and become deformed and die. But they're claiming this is really the ticket. Okay, well, I did some research. Gee whiz, they are right about half of what they say. And I'm thinking, wow, we don't need them for this. Then today, we have many issues to cover. One of the most important issues is those who support the president and the Democrats in Congress. If you are a rank-and-file Democrat and liberal, you should be supporting workers' rights. You should support the environment. Well, two of the newest top appointments by this president are anti-environment and anti-labor. And the trouble is the person who's now going to be the new labor secretary is anti-labor, anti-unions. How could this get through without anyone challenging it? Also, the new Secretary of Energy, according to Carl Grossman, is supporting dirty energy, not clean and renewable resources. With so many enlightened men and women who have backgrounds that would qualify them for being Secretary of the Energy. Why are they only picking people who are pro-energy? So we'll talk about that. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. First up, from early on, we develop a body that becomes a reservoir for toxins. Who knew that the lead-based paints in all of these apartments for decades would end up getting into babies' bodies? But it did. That's one of the reasons that they finally got around to banning the lead in the paint, just as they banned the lead in the gasoline. But it took almost 80 years to do it. Every time we walk down the streets in Manhattan or Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles, we're breathing in tiny little particles of pollutants. A lot of this is of a heavy metal nature. When you eat fish, you're eating mercury, methylmercury, and many other products also get that into your body, like you're filling a cavity with, a silver filling. 52% of the total weight of that filling is mercury. When we have a vaccine, a flu vaccine, even more mercury. Mercury is a very common item out there, and it's ubiquitous. Aluminum. Aluminum is one of the most common minerals in the soil. It's easy to get aluminum. Deodorants contain aluminum. So we walk around with a lot of heavy metals in our body. Now, what do the heavy metals do? First and foremost, they stay in the body a long period of time. The more fat you have on your body, the more the heavy metals stay stored in your fat, which is one of the reasons that when we're detoxing people and getting them to shed those unneeded pounds, I always suggest that we do it slowly. And we do it in a way that chelates out the heavy metals and toxins and pesticides and herbicides that are released from the fat when you burn it. Otherwise, if you lost too much weight too quickly, your liver and your kidneys would have to process all of these toxins that have been stored in your fat. And that is an enormous burden. And that can cause autotoxemia. Hence the need for juicing and increasing the amount of juices, especially the chlorophyll-rich juices. So in all programs, we should use natural chelators wherever possible. Here are the best natural chelators for helping get rid of the heavy metals and get your health back. Top of the list would be the chlorophylls. Chlorophyll, to me, is the number one natural chelator, combined with vitamin C. The two together, synergistically, grab on to these heavy metals and escort them out of the body. If you take in green juices, and especially any juice that you can boost its power by adding some chlorella. Now, chlorella is a heavy-duty natural chelator. Spirulina. These are both chlorophylls. They are both from sea vegetables. They're microalgae. So chlorella and spirulina together. Superstars. And you probably have them in some of the powders you're taking now. Just read the label. That's a good way. Also, if you go into almost any health food store in the United States, or even juice bars, which are mushrooming everywhere, get yourself a wheatgrass juice and start off small, 2 ounces, and stay at 2 ounces for about 2 months, then go up one more ounce. And then after 2 more months, go up another ounce. Ideally, you should start your day with 2 ounces of wheatgrass, and then in the evening, another 2 ounces. Now that is a real powerful natural chelator. So wheatgrass, chlorella, spirulina with vitamin C. Then garlic and onions together. Now that's pretty easy to do. If you're a strong person in your fortitude and you're one of those people that say, all right, I'm going to throw down some juice and it's going to have some garlic and onion in it, fine. But most people simply couldn't take that. They get an upset stomach. Better for most people would be to have the garlic lightly sautéed. When I say light, I mean light enough that you could stick your finger in the oil and not burn your finger. Because in real healthy cuisine, everything is cooked at a low temperature. And the way we cook in the United States is we take rancid oil, mainly generally cottonseed oil or soy oil or safflower oil or corn oil or peanut oil, and we deep fry everything from French fries to fried chicken and fried fish and fried meats into that. It is very toxic. And then people heat things at a high temperature, like on a grill, very unhealthy, or even on the stove. Slow cooking at a low temperature, it takes longer to cook, but you're preserving antioxidants, phytonutrients, and the taste. Because when you cook something at a too high a temperature, the natural flavors, the natural oils that come out of a food when it's being gently cooked, like tomatoes, that sweeten the sauce naturally, the same is true with garlic. When you cook garlic slowly at a low temperature, it's sweet. And it should never get any darker than golden. You should be able to see through the garlic, almost translucent. If it starts to get brown, throw it away. Never eat garlic that is black or brown, because then it's no longer healthy. It becomes unhealthy. And also the sulfur in it is no longer in the same form, and therefore it's not going to do you the good that it would otherwise do. Onions are best eaten raw, if it's a sweet onion. If it's not a sweet onion, like a white onion, a yellow onion, then you could lightly saute it. And you can saute the onion and garlic together and use it in brown rice and beans and a soup. Get it in. The more garlic you bring into your body, the healthier you're going to be. It's just that simple. Now, we know that garlic brings down blood pressure. It kills parasites. It kills bacteria. It kills the staph and strep on your throat lining. It can kill bacteria in your mouth. It can help kill the bad bacteria in your intestine. It kills candida, the yeast overgrowth. It helps bring down cholesterol. So it's simply a superstar. The more garlic, the healthier you're going to be. So combining garlic and onion together, you're getting sulfur. And sulfur chelates and it gets it out of the body. Cabbage is also high in sulfur. Brussels sprouts are high in sulfur, and cauliflower is high in sulfur. Now, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage all are cruciferous. Therefore, cruciferous vegetables are great for chelation, but mainly those that have the highest sulfur content. With cabbage, you can juice it, that's the best way, or you can steam it to break down some of the cellulose so it's better to digest. And then there's any number of ways that you can prepare it to make it tasty. Brussels sprouts the same way. You never eat raw Brussels sprouts, but you can steam them and then add them into any dishes. So those are good. Now, the nut family, the number one nut that is high in selenium and zinc and actually is engaged in chelation are Brazil nuts. You almost never hear Brazil nuts in the United States. So a handful of Brazil nuts is great for you. Also, I would use parsley and cilantro if I was going to use natural chelation. Now, because neither parsley nor cilantro has a high water content, juicing is really not an option because you would have to juice a pound of it to get a tiny little amount that wouldn't even fill a thimble. Instead, simply break up cilantro and break up parsley and use it into a salad, use it into a dish, stir fry it into one of the dishes. That's natural. And then we know that amino acids also help remove heavy metals from the diet. And you can get liquid amino acids if you have a problem, and that'll do it. So those are the best things for that. Separately, we know that many children in the United States, they are not exercising. They're either watching television, or they're in front of a computer, or they're on a cell phone. Now we know, based upon a new study that was published in the peer-reviewed journal of the Endocrine Society's Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, that when they exercise, the exercise can help modulate the stress hormones that otherwise can have an adverse effect in their body. I read this article. It was called Higher Levels of Physical Activity are Associated with Lower Hypothalamic Pituitary Adrenal Cortical Axis Reactivity to Psychosocial Stress in Children. And it's a very important article. Take away all the scientific terminology and what you're dealing with. Quote, the findings suggest physical activity, meaning exercise, plays a role in mental health by buffering children from the effects of daily stressors, end quote. So the longer you get your kids outside playing, biking, jogging, running around, swimming, the better their hormones, the less stressed they're going to be. I'm working on a major film right now on vaccines. And every day new information comes in, challenging some of the preconceived notions we have about vaccines. This is just the latest, and this is from mainstream medicine. This is from Medical News Today. And here's what it says. And I think this is very important. Quote, even though high numbers of the vaccine for whooping cough have been administered throughout the United States, incidence of pertussis is still at its highest in years. One reason could be that after the fifth dose is administered, immunity starts to wane. And by the way, pertussis is the medical term for whooping cough. Quote, researchers from the CDC confirms previous studies which reveal that protection against whooping cough wanes greatly after the fifth dose, when the patient is 4 to 6 years old. Quote, from the lead person, the researcher Kaiser Permanente, the study provides fairly strong evidence that the trends we're seeing are real, and a couple of other studies with similar findings have recently come out. Well, we know that whooping cough is extremely contagious bacterial infection, and it affects the respiratory system. So when those of us who are challenging the idea that vaccines are safe and effective have been speaking out, we have been right. Time and again you've heard me say, show me the scientific evidence from a good quality, double-blind, placebo-controlled study where one group of children were given no vaccines and another group of children were given all the vaccines, and the group of children not given the vaccines were given saline. So nobody knew which group of children was actually vaccinated with an active ingredient. Follow them for 3 years. And every quarter, do a whole blood chemistry. What are the titers? What infections have they had? What percentage have been sick for how long with what conditions? This has never been done. I repeat, this has never been done. They lie to the people constantly. I just finished filming 6 board-certified pediatricians. All said the same thing, as you will see in the film. And it's a hard-hitting film. Wow, this is going to be one of the hardest-hitting films I've ever done. And I do some hard-hitting films. By the way, for the people in Woodstock, I have just confirmed today that I'll be up there screening my new documentary, Seeds of Death, in the near future. I'll give you more details on the date and the place. And so you can, those of you who live in the Woodstock area, can come and see it, and it'll be a free showing. In any case, all of these pediatricians said that we believe that vaccines were safe and effective because we were told they were. But we're not taught in medical school how to challenge our own orthodox medical models. We don't go and check to see if something is honest or not honest. We just don't do that. And the woman said, shame on me, meaning herself, because here I am vaccinating all these children for decades, thinking I was doing the right thing, being highly critical of any mother who came in and says, I don't want to vaccinate my child until you can show me evidence, and I'd throw the woman out of my office. I thought she was some kind of nut. And I realized I was the dangerous nut, not that woman who had empowered herself. By the way, I only film females for the documentary because I felt it was important that we reassert the idea of the power of the feminine in taking more control over what goes into their bodies, their families' bodies, and the consequences. So I'm reintroducing themes that we have lost sight of, that were given to us by the leaders of various feminist movements throughout history, from Carrie Nation and Susan B. Anthony and Mother Jones up to Barbara Seaman and others. Today, we seem to have lost focus of what it is to take power in a constructive way over making the right choice. It's one thing to take power and eat junk food. It's another thing to take power and give your kid over to a medical community and government bureaucracies. Well, that's not empowerment. That's not a true feminist empowerment. So anyhow, all of them said the same thing. They then went to the original scientific literature, and what they saw appalled them, scared them. That's why they were willing to be filmed. So we've said all along, show us the proof these vaccines are giving us will last for life. Why are all the kids that were vaccinated with measles and one group that got measles, why did they get the measles if they were vaccinated? If it was true the vaccines protected them, then they shouldn't have gotten the measles or the whooping cough or chicken pox. But that's exactly what we're seeing. So this is mainstream coughing up some truth. Now, finally, we have been given this, and this is all over the different news sites. It says that Big Pharma has discovered, quote, a way that people could live 150 years with a new patented drug that they're making these claims for. Okay, well, I read it, and it turns out that all these claims are true. This drug does all this. It does protect your neurological system. It protects you from inflammation. It protects you from diabetes. It protects you from heart disease. It really does have anti-aging properties. It protects your cardiac condition. But hold on a second. This is resveratrol from eating grapes, or drinking grape juice, or red wine. So why don't we just eat red grapes and drink grape juice or drink red wine? Well, it's because they figure most people are not aware that the resveratrol that we're getting when we go directly to nature is no different than their drug. Except here's the end run. Mark my words, they're going to start making it more and more difficult for people to get their resveratrol because they're going to say, we have a patent on it. And based upon all the ways to try to manipulate the law, they may win on this. We'll see. So the good news is, eat your grapes. Drink your grape juice, organic grape juice. It'll help you. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. To have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We have a lot to share today, no guests, But I'm going to spend more time today sharing more information about why you should be concerned about genetically modified foods and why you should absolutely join all of the grassroots efforts in more than 27 states where we, the people, are trying to get on the books a law that would require mandatory labeling of any product that is genetically modified, therefore allowing the public to say, yes, I'll buy a genetically modified product, or no, I won't. Needless to say, in California, the Monsanto and DuPont and others spent over $55 million convincing the people in California to vote down the law. I believe we'll have better luck in other states. This is the latest move by Monsanto. This is from Anthony Guicciardi from Natural Society. Quote, Monsanto is at war once again against health-conscious consumers with the latest Monsanto Protection Act. I repeat, Monsanto Protection Act. Managing to sneak wording into the latest scent legislation that would give them blanket immunity from any USDA action regarding the potential dangers of their genetically modified creations while under review. The USDA would be unable to act against any and all new GMO crops that were suspected to be wreaking havoc on either human health or the environment. It's a legislative weapon that could be passed as early as next week if we don't get enough support to force our senators to eliminate the section. It all started in the late hours this Monday night when lobbyists working for the Monsanto-fronted biotech industry managed to slide a rider through the deceptively worded Farmer Assurance Provision Section 735. Again, the Farmer Assurance Provision Section 735 into the Senate Continuing Resolution spending bill that is currently on the table of the Senate. A massive petition to stop what has been labeled as the Monsanto Protection Act has been launched by Food Democracy Now, detailing what could come if the legislation is signed into law within the coming days. If approved, the Monsanto Protection Act would force the USDA to allow continued planting of any, I repeat, any GMO crop under court review, essentially giving backdoor approval for any new genetically engineered crops that could potentially be harmful to human health. Now, here's the really bad part of this. The Monsanto Protection Act trumps U.S. government. Federal courts would be powerless to regulate the sale and even cultivation of illegal and dangerous GMO crops, succumbing instead to the power of the biotech industry and Monsanto. The same threat we faced last summer during the initial emergence of this act, and during that time we saw major groups assemble against the act. From national farm institutions to food safety titans, the Center for Food Safety, the National Family Farm Coalition, the American Civil Liberties Union, the Sierra Club, the Union for Concerned Scientists, all came together to speak out against the incognito bombshell slipped into the 2012 Farm Bill and the 2013 Agriculture Appropriation Bill. But now Monsanto is back at it. Thus, it is imperative that we peacefully kick Monsanto out of the Senate and back into the alleyways of Washington, D.C. So contact your legislator today in the Senate and let him know no to this provision. No. Now, our website, Progressive Reader Network, will post now the petition right now so you can go there and sign the petition. And we're asking everyone in this audience to sign the petition that you're going to find on the Progressive Reader Network so we can send your name on to all the different legislators. So no matter where you're listening, no matter which state, we will send it based upon where you're from. To give you a little bit more on this, we have assembled this. This is brand new today. You're not aware of this. This is a large, major study done by an independent technological assessment research group in Germany, where they took a look at what is the impact upon the environment and humans for 30 years of GMOs. Here is a brief summary of the report. Quote, A critical assessment of the consequences of the commercial cultivation of genetically engineered plants in the United States. The first genetically engineered plants were created 30 years ago in Europe, and the U.S. commercial growing began almost 20 years ago. But in the European Union, acceptance of these crops is much lower. Nevertheless, companies are asking for further authorizations for cultivation, including in the European Union. In light of this development, past experience in the USA was assessed and recommendations made for future handling of this technology in the European Union. Some of the principal findings are, one, consequence for farmers, quote, because the weeds have adapted to the cultivation of the genetically engineered plants, farmers are experiencing a substantial increase in both working hours and the amounts of herbicides they require. Cultivation of insecticide-producing plants have led to an arms race in the field against the pest insects, which have adapted quickly. Genetically engineered plants have been created to produce up to 6 different toxins. Costs for seeds have increased dramatically without there being a substantial increase in yields or significant savings in the amount of spray required. Impact on the seed market. The seed industry in the USA is largely dominated by agrochemical industries such as Monsanto, DuPont, and Syngenta. In the future, it has to be expected that developments in the USA will be strongly influenced by the interests of the agrochemical companies pushing for the cultivation of genetically engineered plants. Consequences for producers who avoid genetically engineered crops. Contamination with non-authorized genetically engineered plants has already caused billions of dollars worth of damage in the USA. Consequences for consumers. Consumers are exposed to a whole range of risks regarding unintended substances from plant metabolism, from residues from complementary herbicides, and from properties of additional proteins produced in the plants. As yet, there is no way of monitoring the actual effects that consumption of these products might have. The cultivation of genetically engineered plants is closely associated with the substantial increase in the amounts of herbicide required. And those are some of the statements. Now, we already know that GMOs can cause cancer in laboratory animals when allowed to live their normal lifespan. Now, I want to take a break, come back, and then in a moment, we're going to play you an in-depth interview on geoengineeringwatch.org. Please stay with us.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you want to hold her.
We're going to go to the special report in just a moment. Again, today we're putting greater emphasis upon the challenge to our environment and public health issues. We do more discussion on public health issues and environmental topics than any other radio program in America. This is the place to listen. And it's always cutting edge. And in my travels, which I've just returned today, I was back for a few hours the day before yesterday. But then I immediately left. I flew into Denver. I produced and was live on air for 7 hours. I did 3 back-to-back-to-back original documentaries, and about 2 hours each. And the good news is that they rate you on a scale of 0, which is bad, and 5 is their highest rating. And they generally don't pitch after 9 at night, and never after 11 because there's very little audience. But we had so much time on the air that we went way over 11. We had 5++. That's the highest rating ever, and there's never been a show in PBS history on any station that we're aware of that ran original, meaning different. Each show was different, back to back to back, and had all that success. And we're very pleased about that. So that's, and then I just flew back overnight. I'm back today. Now, hopefully I'll be here for a while. I have a lot of material to share with you. Tomorrow at noon, I'll be doing a meeting with those individuals who would like to be considered for selection for an upcoming homesteading project. And if you're interested, you must call. I'm going to give you a number to call so that you can call in. And you have to have some experience. You have to have your life together. You have to be a positive, upbeat, happy person, because that's as important to homesteading and working with other people as any skill you might have. So that's crucial. The number is, and this is for Jason, and he'll be screening people, it's 646-926-5428. 646-926-5428. Homesteading requires a lot of work. You have to be physically able to do that work. You have to have a determination. You have to have a positive mind. You have to be willing to overcome obstacles. It is not for the faint of heart or weak of temperance. You have to really be dedicated to do homesteading, much like the pioneers. That kind of rugged individualism and that kind of determination, otherwise you start a project, you get hit with some problems, and you fold it. We don't want that. We want it to succeed. This is all part of the Veterans Village, the Artisans Village, the Food Village, all the things that are done. I've been working on this for a long time, and it's going to be done very shortly. Good news today. My new book and new documentary are out today. And I'm going to offer you a great deal on it. If you're watching right now, this is the book. It's a wonderful book. It's called The Joy of Juicing. Don't confuse it with the old one. This is the new Joy of Juicing. And in this wonderful, beautiful book here, I've done a whole lot of new. I've taken what people need to help themselves through all kinds of conditions and have included those supplements, those herbs, those botanicals, those functional foods into blended smoothies or actual juices. This hasn't been done before. Because a lot of people say, well, my mom's got dementia, and she doesn't like taking supplements, so how do I get this into her body? And all those pills are too big, you know, my brother won't take them. I get every excuse in the world. So I made it so you can just throw them all into a blender with delicious tasting foods, and every food was selected based upon maximizing its healing. So this is the book, and the book is normally, what is the price here? I haven't even looked at it. I haven't even read the book yet, even though I wrote it, $18. Now, here's the documentary that goes with it, the Joy Juicing documentary, brand new. I just premiered this in Denver. Big success. I got 5++. This is not what you're expecting. You think it's just me behind a juicer? No. No, that's not what you're going to see. You're going to see all the top medical doctors who are vegan and juice, Joel Fuhrman and all these great minds, showing you why we're sick and what we have to do to get well. You're going to see me in stores showing you good and bad foods and foods you'd never think to eat and to consume. I'm going into communities to see, for example, I went into Harlem to see why are there so many people in the African-American community who are sick, and yet at the same time, many of the people in my audience, the majority of my audience are African-American and Latino. So these are extraordinarily healthy people. Not just extraordinarily healthy, they stick with protocols more than any other group ever. So I had to show that. They're not dominant in their own communities. But I went to different places to show you the healthy people and then those buying the junk food. And then I discuss what goes into your body and how to detox. This is all in the Joy Juicing documentary. It's a very powerful, upbeat, very upbeat. So this is $40. The two together would be about $60. Today only for my audience to introduce you to my latest book and latest documentary, The Joy of Juicing. It's $30. So that's a good savings. Here's the number you're going to call and until we run out. Now, I bought the book from my publisher, And we have 200 copies. So you can call in until their copies are gone. When they're gone, I'll buy some more copies, and I won't offer it again until they come in. And I don't know how long that takes. But it's call the number 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And get the new Joy of Juicing documentary. Very positive, very upbeat, very put a smile on your face, packed with information, just in tons of information. And there you see it if you're watching this right now going to our video streaming. And there is the book. Packed with delicious recipes also. Tons of recipes. Not just juicing recipes. Yes, I got all those in the front for dental, terrific teeth juice and detoxification and energizing and digestion and energy and stamina and headaches. Just go through liver cleanse, lupus, prostate health, menopausal drinks, weight loss. You name the condition, I have the juices and the blended. Either you can juice or blend, either one, because a lot of people don't have juicers, so I took into account that. But I actually put the nutrients you need. So once you're making your smoothie, you throw in the glutathione or you throw in the carnosine, whatever it is, same way with the juice. Okay? So really original, brand new. There's no place in the world to get the video except right here. And in fact, I'm giving it to you at half price. You pay $30 plus shipping and handling, goes out today. You'll get it out in the mail today. Call 877-627-5065. Now, let's take a listen to geoengineeringwatch.org and someone's comments on genetically engineering.
I'm with the website geoengineeringwatch.org. Michael Murphy and myself, there's a few of us that are part of that site. I have a background with Bechtel Power Corporation in renewable energy. Worked on one of the first commercial solar plants in the continental U.S. My home was on the world's largest renewable energy magazine. That's how I got onto this issue. I'd been told about it, but it was frankly very skeptical. And when I moved to Northern California expecting clean air with a very large, completely off-grid home,
Just interrupt here. We have a different tape. This actually is on, I was just informed, this is actually the tape for chemtrails impacting the weather. They thought it was genetic engineering. That one will get up in the interim, so we're not going to play that. That's for separate. I have that scheduled for a separate program. Instead, it's time for our talkback segment on our program. Our number to call in now is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Sorry about that. I thought that was genetic engineering. It is not, but it's a very powerful discussion of what actually happens to our health and to the environment from chemtrails. I'm playing that on our next program. Now a commentary. While your calls are coming in, I'm very concerned about the privatization of public lands, our natural resources, and services that should be controlled by the citizens through their local municipal governments or state governments. It is extremely problematic. Here are some of the ways that privatization is adversely affecting our lives. Please consider this. And I want to thank Paul Buchheit of Alternet for the deep insight and research and scholarship in helping us to better understand these problems. First and foremost, they're taking the public land. I'm talking about land that belongs to all of us. The attempts to privatize federal land were made beginning with the Reagan administration in the 1980s. And of course, then they had a Republican-controlled Congress in the 1990s. But in 2006, President Bush proposed auctioning off hundreds of thousands of acres of national forest in 41 states. The assault on our common areas continues with even greater ferocity today as the euphemistic path to prosperity. No, it's not. It's not prosperous to go in and take once pristine, beautiful land and strip it bare and exploit the minerals or the let's say, the water or the gas out of that. And by the way, on the airplane coming back early this morning, I saw a report of how Ireland is now proposing that they sell off all their forests and that those forests can be stripped. But the trouble is that would only pay for 3 weeks of the interest on their debt. So to get over the interest for 3 weeks, you would have a completely deforested Ireland. But it gets worse. The people of Ireland would then have to pay to have the trees regrown. They would have to pay for damage done, and the people would have to have all their land confiscated. I hope that the Irish people find the passion that they had from 1917 and throw out the bankers, saying no to any more money being given to any of the European Union banks, the European Central Bank, or the International Monetary Fund. I hope they do that. But in the United States, with groups like the Cato Institute demanding that our property be allocated to the highest value use, and Mitt Romney saying that he didn't know what the purpose of his public lands, why don't you build a Mormon community on it there, Mitt? So examples of the takeaway are shocking. Peabody Coal was strip mining public lands in Wyoming and Montana, making a 10,000% profit on the meager amounts they pay for the privilege. See, Alaska is snatching up timberlands in Alaska. The Central Rockies Land Exchange would allow Bill Koch to pick up choice Colorado properties from the Bureau of Land Management, while neighboring Utah Governor Gary Herbert sees land privatization as a way to reduce the deficit. And Representative Cliff Stearns recommended that we sell off some of our national parks. Not a bad idea, Cliff, if you and all the people in Washington, D.C. went to live in one of those parks. Otherwise, it's not your park to sell. Oh, I forgot. You're Congress. You assume you have that right. One gold mining company even invoked an 1872 law to grab mineral-rich Nevada land for which it stands to make a 1,000,000% profit. The National Resources Defense Council just reported that oil and gas companies hold drilling and fracking rights on U.S. land equivalent to the size of California and Florida combined. And much of this land is split estate. Now, what do I mean by split estate? That means the company can drill under your property without your consent. And unrestrained by government regulations, TransCanada was able to use eminent domain in Texas to lay its pipeline on private property and then have the owner arrested for trespassing on her own land. And Chesapeake Energy Corporation overturned a 93-year-old law to frack a Texas resident without paying a penny to the homeowner. Most residents are unaware of this. They don't even know that they don't own the water rights or the mineral rights to their own properties. Which, by the way, took me 3 years of looking for property. Many of the properties I found were great, except I wouldn't have owned any mineral rights. And as a result, someone could have come in after I built all this and put a gas hydrofracking, destroyed the whole property in the water. That's one of the reasons it took so long. But my land, I own the water rights. I own the mineral rights. And that's what you should check for yourself. In fact, most recently, the oil frenzy in North Dakota has cheated Native Americans out of about $1 billion worth of revenue from drilling leases. And away from the mountains and the plains, back in the cities of Chicago and then Annapolis and L.A. and San Diego, our streets and parking spaces have been surrendered to corporations until the time of our great-grandchildren, with some of the highest profit margins in the corporate world. They're privatizing everything in cities. Number two would be water for sale. The corporate invasion of the water market is well underway. Fortune magazine called water one of the world's great business opportunities, promises to be the 21st century what oil was in the 20th century. And Citigroup is on board, viewing water as a prime investment, perhaps, quote, the single most important physical commodity-based asset class. Now, the vital human resource of water is being privatized and marketed all over the country. In Pennsylvania and California, the American Water Company took over towns and raised rates 70% or more. In Atlanta, the United Water Services demanded more money from the city while promoting federal complaints about water quality. Shell owns groundwater rights in Colorado. Oil tycoon T. Boone Pickens is buying up water rights in drought-stricken Texas. And water in Alaska is being pumped into tankers and sold in the Middle East. A 2009 analysis of water and sewer utilities by Food and Water Watch found that private companies charge 80% more for water and 100% more for sewer services when it's privatized. Just look at what's happened in California, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. People are being abused because of privatization by these companies. And then you have owning human rights. Monsanto and their agrochemical partners call themselves the life industry. Well, they're now trying to patent everything that could give them the rights over all foods and eventually over cells. Right now, they're trying to patent certain genes found in certain diseases. So if you wanted to do research on helping prevent or treat a disease, you'd have to first get their rights to use that technology because they've already patented the genes. That's how bad it is. Then they want to own the air. They're looking at all the ways that they can impact air quality. And unfortunately, we do not want any of our air rights given away to any corporations. We should have that for ourselves and then clean up our air. They also are trying to have children as products. Leading capitalists like Bill Gates and Jeb Bush and Michael Bloomberg and Arne Duncan and Michelle Rhee, who together have a little teaching experience, have decided that the business model can pump out improved assembly line versions of our children. Charter schools simply don't work as well as the profit seekers would have us believe. There are a few exceptions. The recently updated Credo study at Stanford University concluded again that charter school management organizations on average are not dramatically better than charter schools in terms of their contribution to student learning. Approximately the same percentage of charters and non-charters are showing improvement or lack of improvement in reading and math. So these are some of the ways that they're looking at trying to have more control over us. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's say hello to Alexander from California. Hi, Alexander. Your turn.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Going great. Thank you.
Awesome. Great show. Great network. I've been loving you guys grow. I mean, what you guys got going now is beautiful. Absolutely loving it. But anyways, my message to your viewers is basically I'm trying to get super active, and you're firing me up, Gary. And you know what? You're right. There's a lot of issues that we still need to cover up. You know, we still need to handle, like this farmer insurance provision, Section 735.
Yes.
You know what? That's urgent, and we need to get active on that. I know me for myself, I'm going to start spreading the word and help get that underway.
Good for you. We post all the different issues, including articles, documentaries by various people from Steve Ledman to, who else writes regularly for us almost on a daily basis. And we post their articles every day. Plus, we have a person that does nothing all day and another person all night except finding articles around the world in 53 different categories that can empower people and get them online to start doing more for themselves. So it's important that you read the articles on important social issues. Now, we don't do things on celebrities and gossip and all that nonsense, on national politics, which is completely corrupted, and on celebrities and on sports, because those are irrelevant. We talk about the important issues, the problems, and most importantly, the solutions. So keep Danny Schechter always doing new articles, Michio Kaku, new articles. So we have brand new articles up, original articles every day. And thank you for getting in there and to do something, Alexander. We appreciate it. Our talkback number, 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hi, Gary. Well, talk about getting people fired up. Your Monday night show brought on a firestorm of emails to me about this whole idea of human trafficking. Clearly, you've woken up a lot of people from their stupor of not understanding what the whole human trafficking industry is about. And in fact, I had someone send me an email that went on and to show me that there was an article in the New York Times that talked about animal trafficking, exotic animal trafficking. And these are taking wild animal babies and setting them up. They're in Europe, they're in Africa, and they're now coming to the United States. And there's been some controversy about it. On the one hand, people are saying maybe, you know, putting them in captivity would be protecting them, like in a zoo, and even like exotic birds. I have three birds. And my parrots were born in captivity, which I feel is different from, you know, taking a wild bird out of the wild and then trying to put them in captivity. So one of the questions was, what is Gary's thoughts on this whole animal trafficking issue?
I'm opposed to the animal trafficking, and what I would suggest is this, that we start to examine a new concept in caring for animals. First, as far as the current zoos, I believe almost all zoos in the United States should be relocated and completely changed, where you go out into the suburb, out into the country, where you can give elephants and giraffe and lions actual plains where they have miles to roam, and where people can go in protected vehicles on roads to see them, but they're not in cages. They're not in small enclosures, that it would represent something similar to a natural habitat. I believe that all animals currently used in research, especially primates, all should be released into animal sanctuaries. And again, I'm talking about large sanctuaries that are miles square. There is a film that I just posted this morning on our website. It's extremely touching. It shows a group of primates, chimpanzees, released for the first time in their life back into nature. They have not seen a sky. They have been kept in small cages. And you watch them as they exit their captive enclosure and they look up at the sky. And they look at one another. You see them hugging each other. You see them grooming each other and kissing each other. You see whole giant groups getting together in social bonding. And as it would be in nature, where they had all been separated and isolated, they were just amazed that there was another world, and they were very tentative. It was like it was hard for them just to walk on the soil because their feet had not touched soil. Some of these animals are over 50 years old. Over 50 years.
Wow.
All right? Watch this film. It'll bring tears to your eyes. But it'll show you what we have not known. It'll show you what was hidden behind the walls of the scientific bureaucracies that you hear me challenging all the time. Now, what could we do? We could also go to inner cities. We could ask those people who'd like to live close to nature. And at the same time that we're building these large animal enclosures all throughout the United States, we could also build large sustainable villages where people who want to leave the ghetto reestablish a new life in a sustainable environment and be caretakers of these animals. That we could do. So you would put people into gainful employment, you would get them into a healthier environment, and you would help the animals. That's just an idea I have. Okay?
Brilliant.
Thanks for your call, Luann. And we're out of time. So I want to thank you all for taking your time and listen to our program today. I will deal with a lot of issues, including the latest on how many deaths have actually occurred. And there's a brand new study on Chernobyl. It's really startling, and I'll give you that. I was reading that. And also, I want to share information on the 10 companies profiting most off war. The reason that we're in a perpetual state of war, the reason that they keep creating new bureaucracies is because a private companies that know that once they scare the public and once they can get an overreaction by legislators that more often than not they have met in secret with, and that legislator knows they're going to get campaign contributions or a life of contracting work after Congress, then they pass laws. Then the law means you have to fulfill. And then these people set up corporations to go in there and do the fulfillment part. But it's all based upon cost plus. And that means that they can pay millions of dollars to their executives and PR campaigns and lobbyists, all of which is a legitimate expense to them, but we pay for it. And then we pay them a profit on top of that. So it's just massive profit taking. I'm going to deal with that on upcoming shows. We have a lot coming up. I have brand new commentaries on every one of our new programs. Thank you all for listening. Now let's say hello to Utrice Lead, who's standing by. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today we're taking a look at the psychological impact of the Stop and Frisk program. It is going to be introduced as part of a trial, a lawsuit, next week. So we'll be taking a look at that report.
I'm really opposed to all Stop and Frisk, unless it's a member of Congress. Then I believe that they should be forced to ride subways where everyone on the subway has a chance to stop, frisk, do naked searches, and anal cavity exploration. Just an idea. Over to you, Utrice Lead.
Thank you so much.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, you